It is September 23rd, 2018. This is Fancy Ramen. I'm Neil.
I'm Cookie.
And this is a special late night portion of Ramen that you can find on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and YouTube. Cookie, how did you enjoy the week without me?
I'll have to say it was a pleasant, pleasant experience, and I will want to enjoy many more weeks without you.
That was the longest podcast we had done in a while, too. Yeah, so I was out. I was busy working. But since we got to do a short one today, why don't we talk about what you've been up to this week?
Yeah, that's no problem. So, as you may or may not know, there's this game called Pokemon Go, and Mewtwo has been around in raids for a while, so I've been... Me and Lizzie have been jetting all around town doing that. And this weekend, we actually pulled a Scott and went camping. Like, got a tent, sleeping bags, full nine.
Are there Pokemon in the wilderness?
There are Pokemon in the wilderness, depending on where your wilderness is. Where exactly we were camping, there were not Pokemon. It was not signal. But in places we visited around the town of, oh my God, I'm going to pronounce it the way they do in Iowa, Madrid, spelled Madrid, but you tell them it's, oh no, we're in Madrid. I mean, we're in Madrid. They'll be like, no, it's not called Madrid. It's Madrid.
You think we're some Spanish people or something? European Spanish. You have to distinguish that from them. You know, some people in Iowa might not know the difference between Spaniards and Central American.
Mexicans.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, we did the camping thing.
Aside from that, have you been playing anything other than Pokemon Go? I heard a little bit about you talk on that topic last week. Do you feel like it's a problem that you've relapsed entirely into Pokemon Go again?
The Pokemon Go has become a problem again. It used to take me, 15 minutes to get home, but now I just gotta drive over to that closest gym, battle it, put my Pokemon on it, and get the 3 Pokestops that are on the way home. And then I also stop by the library, get that Pokestop in that gym. Yeah, getting home is taking about an hour now. It has become a problem.
That's
once again.
That's a bit much. Oy.
Yup. And it's like, oh, me and Lizzie are now going out and doing things more often, but we're doing things to the extent of, oh yeah, we'll meet at Exarban after work today, just because there are a lot of Pokemon stops.
Do you think that could ever become like? Oh no, I guess company or. Businesses did use the Pokemon Go hype when it just came out.
Oh yeah, they still actually do it at M. Benson. We were there last week on like a Friday or something, and it was like, oh yeah, they still pop the Pokestop at like 8 o'clock at the Beercade.
Oh sure,
like, yeah, all the
like right outside of Beercade, across the corner, or on the opposite corner, there's that church, and I've seen kids, not kids, adults, I guess, congregate around there with their phones out. I remember that being like a very popular spot when Pokemon Go came out. Is there a gym right there?
Yes, there are a couple of... There's a gym right there, and there's a bunch of Pokestops. It's gone so far as we joined the Pokemon Go Discord channel, and I have run into old friends... Not from Pokemon Go, because of Pokemon Go. It's just like, oh shit, I haven't seen you in like 2 years. What the fuck?
Let's go just catching my Zubat. Not a big deal.
God, I wish I could find a fucking Zubat. They're nowhere to be found right now. It's really weird. The common Pokemon now are like just off the wall ones now that they're like 3 generations deep. There was a thing that just happened this weekend, a Chikorita event. For like 2 or 3 hours, it was like nothing but Chikorita spawning. Unfortunately, me and Lizzie were in the dead zone at that point, and so we did not get a chance to catch a Chikorita, but during this event, an unknown Pokemon started appearing everywhere, and as soon as you tried to catch it, it would turn into either a Chikorita or a Ditto.
What the hell is a Chikorita?
It is the starter Pokemon from the 4th gen? 5th gen? 9th gen? 8th gen?
Okay.
10th gen.
Interesting. All right. I am not up with my Pokemon, apparently.
But yeah, so they so we're thinking we saw what a Pokemon looks like in this newest generation, because it was just like, it's like this thing, an amorphous blob. So you think of a child's drawing of a ghost, then put a, oh gosh, what's the thing called? A bolt? Is it a bolt?
Like a thunderbolt?
Like
a bolt?
No, like a yeah, like a bolt for like a wrench that you use, a bolt, an actual bolt.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Like the mechanical item, mechanics thing. Put a bolt with like a little eyeball, a tiny eyeball in the middle. Not even like a, it goes inside the entire bolt. It's just like a little one that kind of just roams around the inside of the bolt is what the new Pokemon looked like. And everyone was like freaking the fuck out because no one knew what the fuck that thing was. Yeah.
Pokemon.
Oh, Nutto is his name, apparently.
Nutto.
N-U-T-T-O, I think. At least according to comicbook.com.
But Pokemon, still Pokemon, all about collecting your animals and then chicken fighting?
Pretty much. Because why not? That's the way people live their lives nowadays. One gym battle at a time, one Mewtwo at a time, one Entei at a time.
Well, speaking of dog fighting, we've got one new dog fighting enthusiast joining us, and that would be Mr. Scott, dog fighter Michael Vick.
And I mean, excellent timing there. I did actually just get a dog yesterday, so
oh god, it's real.
You caught me. Yeah.
What kind of dog?
What kind of dog?
He's not going to do so well in the ring. He is a Shiba Inu Chihuahua mix. So he's like a big Chihuahua or a tiny Shiba Inu with the curly tail and sort of the Chihuahua face.
That sounds like the yappiest thing.
He's super chill and not yappy at all, which is surprising.
Good. Don't introduce him to my dog or my dog's uncle because they'll make him yappy. I hate it.
Okay, will do. He was introduced to one of my grandma's poodles today that is normally not a very yappy dog, but was very yappy, and he didn't succumb to the pressure.
Just give him 2 years. Give him 2 years, and all of a sudden they just start fucking barking. I hate it.
So is it...
Okay, he's not a puppy, though. He's 5 years old. He was a shelter rescue.
So oh, nice. Is a Shiba yeah. Chihuahua
they're,
mix...
They're scrappier.
Are they pretty expensive?
Well, they were a shelter dog, so they were nearly free.
Well,
we
right,
paid $100, right. But got a bunch of, like, I guess, starter items from the shelter at the same time, so.
It's such a weird mix, or a unusual mix.
Super
I imagine
weird.
It's got to be like a designer breed, right?
Or a mutt,
you know?
True.
I don't think Shiba Inu mixed with things are a designer breed.
Yeah, because Shiba Inus are so great on their own.
I guess let me rephrase. When I say designer breed, I mean bullshit. Someone thinks they know what they're doing breed.
Yeah, well, try and explain the pug with that logic.
Yeah.
yeah, but so I just got a dog. So that was... really, like, I know you guys had no awareness of that, so that was incredibly timely and well played joke. I look forward to your future material and see how well it predicts my life.
So what's this Shibawawa Wawa's name?
Yuri Gagarin, like the first cosmonaut.
Okay.
Does he too also see no God in space?
Yeah, exactly. He's firmly a rationalist. He's a real thinker of a dog. But Sierra was trying to, she wanted to figure out good names for a tiny dog. And so I was thinking of short names. And then she said he kind of looked like the first dog that went into space, Laika. And she's definitely not either of those breeds. But I was like, oh, well, he's a boy. So he'd be more like a Yuri Gagarin. And then she liked it too much. So it stuck.
I like it.
Yeah. And I'm not paying to get the tags redone. So there we go. Permanent name.
You mean it didn't have a name when you adopted it? When you rescued it?
He did, but he didn't respond to it. So,
So might as well start all over.
Yeah, might as well start over.
20 years later in the thing's life.
We also know which of the three of us is most likely to be a Russian spy now, too.
It would be me. Actually, no. Yeah, who? Would it be me?
Well, you're white.
I'm the white guy. I mean, Neil could be one of the Russians that hang out near the Yamchatka Peninsula area, or just southern Siberia, northern China, Mongolia.
Is that the peninsula that's right next to the Gokuka, and everyone dislikes it in comparison to that one? No, never mind.
I mean, I don't know what I don't know about the Gokuka. Oh, I get it.
He's using Dragon Ball Z.
He's so dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a dog now. Yay. That's exciting news.
And the first order of business is to abandon it. Proud of you.
Not abandon it. Teach it to fight.
Abandon it in space, just like Laika.
Yeah, that's true. No, Sierra won't. Sierra will be a good dog mom, even if I'm a mediocre dog parent.
Hopefully you realize they're not it's not a squirrel.
Yeah, I know. My specialty is actually in squirrels, so I don't exactly know how to take care of a dog anymore. Apparently, you don't just put them into a cardboard box with a heating blanket. I think that's how you end up losing the dogs. So what's good in the video game front? I heard you guys actually talking about video games before I jumped in with my terrible timing, in which I did not understand that good for 10 meant good for 10 minutes and not good at 10 o'clock at night.
It's all good. Cookie, you were talking
nothing's
about...
nothing's good in the video game world.
Yeah, you were talking about Pokemon Go, but has that been the only game you've been playing lately?
This week, as in video game sense, yeah, pretty much Pokemon Go. But when you ask what's been good in the video game world, nothing's been good in the video game world, Scott. Nothing.
Yeah. There's Pokemon Go, and then there's... Telltale developers,
yeah.
Go find jobs.
But before we get on to that, let me ask.
Okay.
Cookie, did you like Celeste?
The Switch game.
The levels were too long.
Okay. But did you like the
gameplay?
Or a hardcore
platformer. I liked the concept and the general idea of Celeste. I did not like the level design of Celeste, so it didn't do it for me. So if they were shorter, So I like the fact that Celeste became very Super Meat Boy-ish. I did not like the fact that Celeste became very Super Meat Boy-ish with 10-minute long levels of starting over at the most stupid points.
They didn't have really simple and quick checkpoints. They were spread out too far.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you about a game that does have simple and relatively frequent checkpoints. And that would be The Messenger. For Switch, PlayStation 4, Steam. I could be wrong on the PlayStation 4. But it's it starts off as an 8-bit platformer that has a lot of Ninja Gaiden and then a lot of kind of campy fourth wall breaking narrative as well. I don't know if you would necessarily be super keen into it, Cookie, but especially based on your answer. But mix some of that special platforming in with Ninja Gaiden, except not nearly as clunky as old NES games are. That's why I actually just started playing it today, and it's been really fun. But what makes me like think of it more of like a mobile platformer as opposed to like a Ninja Gaiden game is that it has a few quirks to how you can move around as you progress further into the game. Things unlock, like a grappling hook, which will then, you know, propel you to an object or propel you through objects of certain types with momentum. The other thing about this game that I think changes it in so many different ways compared to other similar games of its nature is that if you hit an object or an enemy while in the air, you basically regenerate your ability to jump again. So you can double, triple, quadruple, whatever jump. As long as you hit an enemy, you can then jump again. And that really like expands upon what you're capable of doing for mobility. I don't think it's necessarily a spoiler because it's in the trailer, but through the course of the game, you end up switching from 8-bit to 16-bit mode, and it's pretty cool how the soundtrack and graphics change between the two. I would argue that the 8-bit music is actually better than the 16-bit music so far, but I've only just barely gotten into the 16-bit portion. But I just wanted to bring that game up.
I could dig it. Kind of gives me a look and feel of the game I may have talked about last week, One Strike.
That
which retro-y. Is also for the Switch. Yeah, it's a retro samurai style fighting game where you only have one life and one hit kills. It's called One Strike. It's really slow and methodic, and it's very chess-like. But either way.
Yeah, I did see that. It's kind of like a second coming of Bushido Blade, in a way, I guess you could say.
Speaking of second coming of any sort of Japanese sword-related game.
Gross.
I heard, yeah, okay, not the best transition. I just happened to hear through the grapevine that, what was it, Shadows Die Twice, Sekiro, actually was a, a offshoot of what was supposed to be a Tenchu game, which makes Cookie officially the winner of our estimate of what the Shadows Die Twice trailer was referencing.
Yay. I like it when people call me a winner.
Yeah. I mean, you won fair and square, but I wanted to throw the congratulations your way while it was still on my mind.
Thank you. I will accept money and bribes next week.
Okay. Sounds good.
Man, where the hell did that Bloodborne 2 rumor come from? That's my question.
You know, fingers crossed that Bloodborne 2 is still a possibility. Now that I've played Bloodborne start to finish and all of the Old Hunters DLC, I could not be more in agreement with you, Neil, that Bloodborne's one of the best games I've ever played.
Sekiro, though, does look like it's going to have that same speed, if not maybe even go a little faster, so I can't really say
well,
I'm
you're not,
not
even
excited.
Taking out a con. Yeah, I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't have that much information, but there is an ability to essentially resurrect as opposed to die and go back to a lantern like Bloodborne or a fire in Dark Souls. You can resurrect on the spot when you die. And so that mechanic, I think, keeps it even higher octane in that sense. But it's also going to have, I think, a little bit more or a little bit different like combat mechanics than any other game that From Software has worked with.
Hit circle to spin wrist.
Well, there seems to be also like essentially a balance or like stamina for guarding that is a little different from how we experienced it in Bloodborne and Dark Souls and that genre, I guess.
Well,
yay.
If we're going to plow through these topics real quick, before we do that, I just was going to say, I beat Octopath Traveler. It's if you're enjoying the game through Chapter 3 and 4, I think it does a pretty good job. It's like a pretty good ending. I think the last boss is really, really, really well made and well executed, and the most epic feeling last boss I think I've played in a game since maybe Bloodborne.
Is this the last boss that you're accessing after you've completed everybody's storyline?
Yes. It's like the quote-unquote okay. secret last boss. It's like I think the core game has a problem in that it shows the credits way too soon. Like the credits play yeah. when you beat your protagonist's chapter 4, and I think that's kind of like a design flaw, but I also understand that like it kind of provokes the entire feeling of the game is basically if you enjoy and empathize with the characters and find the world itself interesting enough to actually go and dig further. Like, that's how you get the most out of this game. But I mean, it's like the game or the game developers don't necessarily care about people who treat this game lightly. I won't go any yeah. further than that, but it just, it's currently my favorite game this year. There are still a lot of games I need to play to completion, though, before that comes final. But
good for like a spiritual successor to the classic JRPG Final Fantasy games that I've been enjoying so much. It's nice that it that reminds me of how when Final Fantasy got remade for the Game Boy Advance or whatever, they essentially had like this bonus dungeon at the end of the game that was obscenely difficult that I got stuck on at a certain point because you couldn't backpedal through the dungeon once you at certain checkpoints. So I got up against like a boss I could never defeat. But just that feeling of like, oh, I've actually kind of crushed the regular game and now we're in the bonus rounds and it's really actually testing my mettle on how well I know and can perform at the game. Like, I love a good secret boss that'll kick the shit out of you.
Well, Scott,
I've always wanted to play. What's up?
When Octopath Traveler tells you there's no going back and it gives you a save point, you should maybe make a couple saves.
Oh, shit. Okay. I do this way too often where I'm like, no going back, but that's fine. Like, I'm only going forward. The only one way is headed up. And then I get stuck. So that's good to know. Looking forward to it. I really want to play more games like that. I enjoyed going back to Persona for like a second playthrough and fighting the twins and getting dunked on by the twins immediately.
Did you guys have any other recent games? Or not recent, but games you've played this week before we talk about the elephants in the room?
No. I got Settlers of Catan, the board game, for my birthday, and that's the closest I've gotten to gaming that hasn't been just trying to put in more Octopath Traveler this week.
I've pretty much been playing Gloomhaven and D&D all week.
Well, so are either of you guys sad that Telltale Games is effectively shutting down? Effectively shutting down, not entirely shutting
right.
down
they
quite yet.
They're keeping roughly 25 people on staff, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what they're being kept on for?
I don't have that information. I only have the
Minecraft,
fact that 25
Netflix.
People haven't been... Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Ooh.
At least that's the word on the street. So.
And I have something to read. So this was kind of a thing that Telltale put out. Today, yeah. Telltale Games made the difficult decision to begin a majority studio closure following a year marked by insurmountable challenges. A majority of the company's employees were dismissed earlier this morning, with a small group of 25 employees staying on to fulfill the company's obligations to its board and partners. CEO Pete Hawley issued the following statement. It's been an incredibly difficult year for Telltale as we worked to set the company on a new course. Unfortunately, we ran out of time to get there. We released some of our best content this year and received a tremendous amount of positive feedback, but ultimately that did not translate to sales. With a heavy heart, we watch our friends leave today to spread our brand of storytelling, oh gosh, there it is, across the games industry. Telltale will issue further comments regarding its product portfolio in the coming weeks. One of those things being that they were doing a Walking Dead season that's not getting the last two episodes.
So word on the street is that basically nothing has been making a profit since the first season of The Walking Dead. And, oh gosh, I think there was one other thing they did that actually had a profit to it. But everything else has basically just been on, like, been carried by investor money.
Game.
Sorry, what's that?
Minecraft was the other one that earned some money.
Yeah, at least definitely according Minecraft. To rumors. So it's, I mean, I don't know. Part of me wants to say this is maybe what happens when you continue to develop on like what is more or less a buggy, shitty engine. I mean, that obviously isn't the only reason why their sales dipped after The Walking Dead, but it sure as hell doesn't help when like that mires your development as well. There are people saying that basically the regular development of all of these series and games were not only rushed, but also encountered a bunch of difficulties because their engine that drove all of their titles was buggy as fuck.
I actually can't find a Telltale Games game that I've played now that I look at their list of titles. So,
episode one of The Walking Dead and that Batman one that I was playing for a little bit that I never actually beat that I got for free.
Well, yeah. I mean,
so that didn't help.
That one was actually kind of interesting because you got to play as Bruce Wayne, and I don't think there's a single Batman game that really gives you Bruce Wayne time in any major length or like major portion of the game.
I mean, most superhero games don't give you that option for a very good reason.
Amen. Some of the most enjoyable parts of Spider-Man, Peter Parker time.
Yeah, that's true.
I just think that like Bruce Wayne in particular is an interesting character compared to Batman. Batman, you know, just like, I don't kill people, proceeds to throw a grenade down a sewer and have it explode.
And Bruce Wayne's like, buy, sell. Like, much more interesting character.
Much more.
Buy the oil fields, sell the orphanages. We need enough money for a new bat tank.
What? Nothing.
Stocks, that's what. No.
Yeah, I said stocks.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of shitty when you think about, like, especially like The Walking Dead. The final season is at this point not going to be finished unless someone really, really wants to finish it and pours a lot of money into buying that IP. Because I imagine,
yeah,
Telltale Games or whatever's going to be left of it, they're not going to part with it cheaply.
And it definitely makes me more wary of... So even though Telltale was a bigger-ish studio with their, like, their common theme of gameplay type, it does make you a little more wary of, hey, what's going to happen with these season passes, since this is kind of the way the industry has gone? Because everything comes with the season pass now.
Yeah.
And is it like, do you not try and help and support these smaller developer teams? Well, smaller, quote unquote, because they fired like 300 people. Development teams, because you're like, well,
they could fold and I'm out my money and my content. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There was an offer, like a Twitter offer made on someone from Ubisoft basically had like an open invite to any Telltale employees who wanted to basically meet and talk possibilities and opportunities. So that seemed really cool on Ubisoft's part.
Over a free lunch.
A free lunch. They're going to need as many free meals from here. Now, I personally don't necessarily think this is any sort of bad omen for game development. I think this is just like a company that wasn't necessarily run all that well and not utilizing great resources either. Like, none of this comes as a surprise to me, like, especially since they had such major layoffs in 2017. I think enough's been said there.
Our prayers go with the families. We should probably say that obligatory thing on the podcast.
Yeah, no, it sucks that people lose their jobs. Like, that's the... Speaking
absolutely.
Of which, it also sucks that Capcom Vancouver got shut down. I bring this up because I wasn't sure if you guys... how you guys felt about this, but they... this studio, which was originally Blue Castle Games, they were the ones that, I guess you could say, were better known for Dead Rising 2, 3, and 4. I don't think they made the first Dead Rising, though.
It doesn't look like it's in their titles when I try and look it up online.
I was like, oh, a place on Capcom's going to be shut down. I don't recognize Capcom Vancouver, so I don't know what they did. Looks like the last time I played a game by them was in 2007. The Bigs. Oh, nope, I played Puzzle Fighter. Wait, no, this is not. No, that's not the Street Fighter Puzzle Fighter game. So no, The Bigs. That was the last game I played by them. Because they made The Bigs and The Bigs 2, but not The Bigs 3, so I can't claim that I played The Bigs 3, because it's not by them.
Yeah.
Wait, was there The Bigs 3? Now I'm curious. Oh, shit, son. Yeah, no, never mind. I think, 2000... Oh, God. 2009 was the last time I played a game by them. The Bigs 2.
But it seems like, at least according to the press release, they're closing this studio in part so they can focus more on their Japanese development teams. Which, I mean, after the release of Monster Hunter and the success of Monster Hunter, assuming we're not talking about the PC release, that seems to line up pretty well. They're doing well for themselves.
How did the PC release go, out of curiosity? Like, my friend group was not into the PlayStation release at all, at least the people I game with online. And the PC release, like, a bunch of them picked it up and were into it, which I thought was surprising.
Bug-ridden still? Well, actually, I don't know if I mean, that's pretty typical, it seems like, at this point. You just assume that the PC port is going to be fucked for a while. It got banned from China.
Or if it's Dark Souls, then it's fucked for like almost a decade before.
And then
it's,
you let the fans
remastered.
Fix it.
Yeah, then the fans fix it better, and then you sell a remastered version.
Yeah. Mm.
Say on PC Gamer that Monster Hunter World PC sales have exceeded expectations. And so apparently it scored higher than... Let's see. It scored higher than the company had projected it would. So the sales are good. I don't know if that means the gameplay is any less like buggy or weird than most computer ports, but that's good news for them, and maybe another reason why more resources got allocated their way with the shutdown of Ubisoft Vancouver. Capcom Vancouver. You know, if you just take the C and turn it 90 degrees, it's a U.
It's the same company.
Don't at me.
Don't at me, bro. Okay. On that don't at me, bro, though, I am going to have to go, though.
It's
in the interest of getting everyone to bed at a decent time. You can write us at fancyramen at podcast@fancyramen.com. Yowza.
You got a little grizzly there. Are you trying to do an Alex Jones thing now that he's off the airwaves?
The market's got to be filled somehow. You think Kojima didn't know about this? He knew.
And don't be afraid to leave a comment post on, Apple Podcasts? Yeah, that's what it's called.
Or any other place where you get your podcasts. Another great way to post a review is on your friend's bathroom mirror, recommending the podcast. Next time they take a steamy shower, it'll say Fancy Ramen, 4 out of 5 stars. And they'll go, huh, that sounds pretty good. And then more steam will fill the mirror, and you'll see, oh, it's 4 out of 6 stars. Well, I might give it a try. But yeah, share with your friends. Let them know. It's the best way to grow our audience, and they'll love that mirror trick. Trust me.
Also, next week is going to be a special episode.
We won't tell you why just yet, but it's going to be one you won't want to miss.
Definitely keep an eye out on our Twitch channel. Night.
Have a good week, everyone.
Night, guys.